Good morning, Polyvalence. Today, we are going to talk with many guests, including your dearest president, Mr. Roosevelt. Many surprises are waiting for you today, so stay tuned. So, like I said before, our president will be in the first part of the program in a debate organized with Mr. Hoover, the 41st president of the United States. Then, one of our journalists got to a really remote part of the United States to interview many farmers who, as you can hear, are full of hope to find work again in one of our big cities. We have also a special interview of Zoran Houston, who speaks about her, but also about the Harlem Renaissance. So, that our team can eat something other than canned beer, beans or spam. Some really interesting ad will be heard. Thank you for your patience. Let's start now our debate between Mr. Hoover and the current President Roosevelt. Mr. Hoover, you can begin on the New Deal.
Thank you to receive us and to give me the word, Mr. Roosevelt. I'm going to speak with you today about your catastrophic economy policy with the New Deal. With that, you destroy the American liberalism. I'm sure that you always know United States as a liberal country. Mr. Roosevelt, the principle of liberalism is simple. It's a non-intervention in the economy. In trying to break in with this ideology, it's the history of the United States that you want to erase. Since the beginning of this crisis in 1929, I always believed in liberalism.
Hello everyone, I am happy to be here with you, dear listeners, and also happy to be with you, Mr. Hoover. First, Mr. Hoover, you like a policy that you are unable to implement properly and which has, on the other hand, leading our country to its loss. So, I think that you are in the wrong place to talk about my policy, which saved our country and our people.
The responsibility of the crisis is due to speculation, not of my fault, that created the panic in the population and also the fall of the banks, and I did all to limit the damages. I asked the American people to continue to throw against the economy by not holding in the crisis. It's the only solution to resolve it for me.
Mr. Hoover, you are the responsible of this crisis, and you want that people throw against the economy? But by your fraud, a bandit has fed people of the world's greatest power. You feel good with that on your mind?
But your solutions are not better. You lead our country to disorder and to the collapse.
I think that you've led our country to its loss and you want to accuse me now, but I have saved this country because I love it and I don't think it's the same for you. I lead the country to the victory, sir.
With this crisis, we fell very low. But that allows American people what is a life with an economic crisis. We will be better and stronger the next time.
You destroyed our country and I saved our country. Just think about what people think. They see you like a man who destroyed their country and I am the hero who saved it.
Mr. Roosevelt, don't describe you like a hero. You are trying to lie about the economic history of our country and that preserves nothing good. The United States mustn't become a communist state. Our country is the typical example of the liberal democracy, so please don't destroy this beautiful country.
I destroy our beautiful country? From you, that make me laugh. My communist state, like you said, give another chance to our country and this opportunity has allowed to stay the greatest country in the world.
Mr. Roosevelt, how to believe that an institution as the National Recovery Administration gives some orders to companies. How to believe that? It's not tolerable in a liberal democracy.
You can believe it like all Americans because people, thanks to me and my policy, our country is still alive. And I will make everything I can to continue like that to show to the world that the USA is the greatest country in the world.
Thank you, gentlemen. And before to continue the second part of our debate, we propose to you a report in California about the situation with the Dust Bowl, but before our short advertising cuts.
Your land is destroyed by the Dust Bowl, you have nothing to lose anymore, and you are looking for a job. I am the man that you need. My name is John Smith, and I will be your guide in your new California land. I am a rich wine producer and you can help me. I'm looking for employees to harvest my wine and to collaborate with me. I will help you to do all the paperwork. I will help you to find somewhere to live. And for sure, I will pay you fairly. Come with me, you won't regret it. Help me to develop our business. Together, we can become very rich. That's Wine Wine, the winner spirit.
Samara, do you hear us? How is the atmosphere there?
So yes, I do hear you. I'm currently in the middle of California where there's tension in the air due to the arrival of hundreds of people from the east. Little reminder of what's happening. After the crack, it's one out of two Americans that is unemployed, and that's why they started to move out, leaving their houses, their friends, and even sometimes their own families to find a job, crossing the whole country in terrible conditions. There's a second problem in addition of this demographic shock, is that this whole phenomenon is a real environmental tragedy. Indeed, people had plowed the soil too much until it became infertile. Right after that, the wind started to blow, rain ruining the crops and killing people and animals. I'm here with Meredith. So Meredith, where do you come from and what's your story?
Hello, yes. My name is Meredith and I come from Texas. There, we were farmers with my husband. We own a lot of grounds. Our farms worked well, like everybody around us. But recently, what we call the dust bowl happened. With the wine and the dust of the soils, the air became to be unbreathable. A big cloud of dust and ground has risen in Texas and in other states in the middle of the country. The soil went so dry, we lost everything. All of our plantations and animals are dead. It is awful because this dust goes everywhere and people are dying of hunger and because of the dust. So at this moment, we decided to move, to find another place to live. I am with my four children. My husband decided to stay at home, I mean what is left of home, in Texas with the hope that the land will be fertile again. So we took what we could, just some clothes, no food, no objects. We told us that if we went to the west, in California, we would find work and maybe a place to sleep. So we all got into trucks together and we took the road. We slept on the side of the road. We were hundreds in the same situation. We got here, but it was complicated. There are many people who want the same thing. We arrived this morning. At first, they told me I had to go back home, but then they saw I had four children, so they finally agreed to let me enter into the state.
Excuse me, I just heard you talking. I don't think you're from here, am I wrong?
No, you're right. I'm here because I'm running away from the Dust Bowl, which hit us in Texas. We couldn't live there anymore, so I come here with the hope of finding work.
And do you think you can just come here and take our lands? Just because you can afford living there doesn't mean you have to come here. You're exaggerating. It's not that bad. You just have some dust, that's nothing. You just have to wait for your land to become fertile again. And here we go. And anyway, life is tough too. I mean, just look around you. Everyone's poor. We didn't need you coming here, invading our homes, stealing our lands and our jobs. What are you gonna do with your children anyway? You don't have any money. You will not survive for long here. Anyway, this dust bowl's a lie. It's an excuse for the government not to have to take care of you anymore. You're just here to give us diseases and steal our jobs.
Wow, don't worry. I'm not here to steal your lands. We just want to survive and I want to protect my children. I am ready to work hard and my kids too.
And this is the Great Depression. Jobs are rare, food even more. And do you think you can just come here and that it will magically disappear? What are you hoping for? People here need jobs and food. You won't take that away from us. Go back where you come from. We do not have place for people like you anyway.
The land where I came is not livable anymore. I think there is enough place and ground here for all of us. We are going to do the jobs you don't want to do.
Yeah, but why did you come here? There's so many different places you can go. You've done it in vases by hundreds. It's not our fault if the ground isn't fertile. We were here before you. This whole land is ours, not yours. You are not welcome here. This isn't your home, and never will be. Now go back where you came from.
I know we are not very welcome here. People like you, who already lived here, are afraid that we will take all their jobs. But we just want to work to earn a bit of money to live, not to invade you. While I am talking to you, there is people who are hungry and suffering, and you are talking to me about jobs.
Yes. Now what do you want? Invade you in my home?
We are not strangers. We live in the same country, we speak the same language. What do you want more?
But what? I think Road 66 didn't work out so well for you. You look tired. Go sleep if you find some place. Then, go see if you find any work to do for us. Bye.
So, that wasn't expected. Thank you, Meredith, for your testimony. Good luck to you and your family in this tough time. We just saw the consequences of the Dust Bowl. Family in miserable conditions, but we can also feel tension between people. We all hope this hard period will end soon so everybody could maybe go back home. Meanwhile, we have to find a way to keep everybody alive. Thank you very much for your attention. It was our special reporter, Samara. See you soon on American TV.
Thank you, Samara. Before we get back our debate, here's an advert.
Hello, buddy. Are you hungry?
Yes, Dad. I haven't eaten today.
I know. But since I've lost my job, I can't feed you anymore.
Can't feed me? But Dad, don't you know food distribution exists?
What do you mean, kid?
Food distribution has been created in the entire city. You can go there and get food for free. So what are you waiting for?
Oh, okay, but I don't know any of them.
Don't panic. I know the best canteen in the town center, close to the central bank and the train station. The Big Al's Kitchen for the needy is what you're looking for. This Al Capone canteen offers 3 meals a day, consisting of soup with meat, bread, coffee and donuts. So Dad, you don't have to hesitate anymore. Just go to this distribution.
Okay, buddy. You are right. If you need some help, just come in our canteen on 935 South Street and get what you want.
So, Dad, do you like the soup?
Mmm, good soup.
Mr. Roosevelt, you have the wood.
Thanks. I will say essential things and I won't be long. First, Mr. Hoover, I want to know if you feel good when you know that by your fault around 2.5 million of people were in the street because they were obliged to leave their house and change their life because of the Dust Bowl. And that is not your fault. I know that you will criticize me again, but another one time, it's your fault. And if you don't believe me, go in the street and ask to people who is better and who they prefer as president between you and me. You didn't help people enough, and moreover, the fact that they lose all their life weren't helped by the president.
The situation in the central United States is terrible. I give my full support to the families affected, but this situation could have been handled better. You are not responsible for the weather, okay, but you are responsible for the agricultural policy. I'm going to be clear. The cause of the Dust Bowl is an intensive exploitation of our soils. If protective measures had been taken to protect soils, the situation in this report wouldn't have happened. This is the responsibility of your administration, Mr. Roosevelt. You can't deny that, and that's all for me.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, for this debate.
Today, America is in failure. Agriculture is one of the most impacted sectors. But, fortunately, Roosevelt created AAA.
What? Don't you know AAA?
No, it's not the Anonymous Alcoholics Association. It is the Agricultural Adjustment Act, a federal law intended to help farmers to build a new future. The government will pay you with subsidies. The only thing that you have to do is to destroy the livestock to create new plantations. Hurry up! Run to the nearest federal office to benefit from AAA.
And now let's continue with the interview of the famous author Zora Neale Hurston. The Harlem Renaissance, an African-American movement which appeared in the 20s in New York City, The Harlem Renaissance is characterized by a great creativity in different artistic fields, musical, theatrical, visual arts, and mostly in literature. It was the most influential period in African-American literary history that we have ever known. Today, we are going to welcome one of the most famous artists of the Harlem Renaissance, the writer Zora Neale Hurston. Welcome, Zora. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
You are a black female writer from Harlem, and you participate in the Harlem Renaissance.
Yes, it was close to my heart to write about my African-American culture. You know, for us, it was not easy during the Great Depression. As an artist and as an African-American, I was doubly impacted by the crisis. I saw so many of my friends or members of my community unemployed for the benefit of white people, and it broke my heart. Even if the segregation is supposed to be officially over, it restarted with the crisis.
Boycotts were organized to protest against the desegregation, if I am good remembered.
Yes, thanks to Joseph Bid, Chicago Whip editor, who organized these boycotts in 1929.
You read a book this year that upset the society and its codes. Their eyes were watching God. It broke the literary norms by focusing on the experience of a black woman, Jenny Crawford. How did the idea come to you?
There is no book more important to me than this one. And somehow it tells my story and the story of every black woman. Sometimes I feel discriminated against, but it does not make me angry. It gives me the strength to face the world and tell this is who I am, a proud black woman.
And now we are going to listen to music. One of your friends, Louis Armstrong.
Thank you.
You also said it was a hard time for you during the Great Depression because you were an artist. Why?
I'm not going to lie to you. It was very hard in 1929 during the first time of the crisis. People had less money or they had nothing anymore. It was a hard time for everyone. Consequently, people didn't buy books anymore because they needed money to buy food or to warm up. As a consequence, it was complicated to support my needs.
How do you survive during this period?
I was helped by the Federal Writers Project, which is part of the Work Progress Administration, a New Deal program.
How did it help you?
We were employed by the government to write state guides, city guides, local histories and oral histories, and children's book. In addition, the project provides jobs to unemployed librarians, clerks, researchers, editors, and historians.
If I am good remembered, around 10,000 people found employment in the Federal Writers Project. How did it change your life?
Well, I could write and be paid for it. What an incredible thing. More seriously, the most significant project that resulted from the Federal Writers Project was the Slave Narrative Collection, a compilation of over 2,300 first-person accounts from former slaves across 17 states. An amazing project which will mark me for the rest of my life.
Thank you, Zora Nielsen, for your time and attention. Have a nice day and thank you again.
Thank you for your invitation.
It was Zora Nielsen on our radio.
This is the end of our special program about Great Depression. A big, big thank you to all of our guests. Elfie, Sasha, Charlie, Gabby, Maya, Samara, Arthur, and me, Julie. Stay tuned on Radio BLV 93.6. Have a great day.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn? Hey.